Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. My name is John Davis, and I have with me my wife, Nadine. How you doing, babe?
I'm doing fine.
Amen, amen. Well, welcome to our 7 o'clock Charlotte Christian Fellowship broadcast. We just welcome you guys. We say anybody who's listening by the Internet, if you want to join us in the conversation, you got to call in, and that number is 657-383-1624. Again, that's 657-383-1624. Tonight, we want to continue listening to part three of Being Prepared for Christ's Return. And that's by Brother Zach Putin. We did, one and two, but we're going to continue this until, and the purpose of what we're doing is to actually get prepared for Christ's return. And a lot of us read it in the Bible, what does that actually mean? So we're talking about breaking down the Word of God. We'll say being prepared, get ready. What does that mean? Christ actually told us it's impossible to please him without faith. So when we pray, do we really believe that he hears our prayer? Do we really believe in him? You know, that's the question, because when we pray, if you don't believe in, who are you praying to? And then there's some of the actions that we do. If we think we can get away with it, then we really don't believe that he is who he says he is, that he exists. And so, and a lot of us who call ourselves Christians, actually what we call it, praying in vain, because we really don't believe it. We just want to get along. We want people to off our backs. I'm a Christian and move on, but we can't fool God, okay? Nope. So we want y'all to know that that's what this broadcast is about, is actually getting prepared, you know. God is real, whether you like whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
The devil is real, too, whether you believe it or not, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and there is two deaths, whether you believe it or not. We're just going to give you truth. And we want you guys to join us in the conversation, because my wife and I are just one part of the body. And I'm not talking about a whole leg or ear. I'm talking about one part of the body. It might be a cell or one little, little piece of skin on the body. But the body is made of, Christ says, many parts, okay, many pieces. And some seen and some unseen. But the thing is, though, the point is, we just one part. And you guys who listen in are also parts of the same body. And so we can defeat the devil as we come together. He says, when two or more come together, we know the Lord is in charge of everything. But he also said, when two or three come together in his name, and my wife and I are too, and the Holy Spirit is with us. But the more, not say Mary, because the world will say that, but it's good for us, the Bible says, forsake not the fellowship of the saints. Okay, so please call in and join us and share what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Before we go any further, I'm asking my wife to pray us in.
Amen. Sure. Father God, we come before you tonight in the precious name, Lord Jesus, asking you to lead and guide us, Lord, in our conversations tonight. We need to hear from heaven. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to bless our ears that they may hear what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts at this moment. We ask you, Lord God, to help us not to be forgetful hearers. We want to do is be ones that do your word and not hear it only.
Amen.
We thank you, Father God, that you know our frailties. And that's why we have to surrender ourselves totally to you. Father God, check our minds. Put a check on our tongue if something, Lord God, that we may be preparing to say is not pleasing to you. I pray that you would put a guard over our lips in Jesus' name. Because what we want to do is profess your truth to the world. You said that that's our mission. Proclaim my gospel and make disciples. And that's what we desire to do. So we turn this tonight's broadcast over to you, trusting you to hear us and to answer us in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to share something.
Go right ahead.
For those of you who don't know, generally on Mondays I send out a communication called Morning Mercies. And this is the one that was sent this week, and I just would like to share that with you.
Please do.
And it's coming from Psalm 71. And Psalm 71 says, O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me and rescue me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me. and set me free. Be my rock of safety, where I can always hide. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the clutches of cruel oppressors. O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from my childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you have cared for me. No wonder I'm always praising you. And I read verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 71. And the topic of our session, beloved, never stop praising God, because he will never stop caring for you.
Hallelujah.
Have no fear, because God will take care of you. Beloved, I know your head must be spinning from all that's going on around us. But I want to encourage you, be strong and be confident, because the Lord has been with you all this time, and he's not going to abandon you now. He has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, saith the Lord, in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So take comfort and be encouraged, and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What you see taking place in the world are birth pains. Jesus told us about it in the scripture. The world is perplexed and worried because they don't understand that God is real and his word is true. We, beloved, are his children, and we are not a part of the world. Jesus told us that. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. He prepared us through scripture so that we wouldn't be surprised when things began to kick off. He wants us to be ready at all times, fully assured that he is coming for us. We will not experience the wrath God is about to pour out on this rebellious world. So take heart. Because God cares for us, we need not fear anything or anyone. I still want you to know that because your life has been an example to many, the Lord is your strength and your protection. Fear not, says the Lord, for I have overcome the world. Father God, we thank you that we can come to you for protection.
Yes, Lord.
You hear us when we call you, Lord. You keep us safe, and we can always hide in you. You have given the order for our rescue from this dark and faithless world, and we patiently await your arrival. Mighty King of Glory, you alone are our hope. We wholeheartedly trust in you. You've been with us from the time we were born. It is no wonder that we will always praise you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. As you were praying just then, you said you've been with us since you were born. I give him even more. He says, I knew you in your mother's womb. You know. So, and brothers and sisters, on Tuesday night, you can hear more of making disciples. As my wife was saying, we get prepared for Christ's return.
Amen.
Okay, and if you join her on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m., they're making disciples. Okay, her and her co-host, Alicia Lockett, do a broadcast then making disciples. That's what I call it, making disciples. And to join that one, you got to dial in 929-477-3427. And I'm going to tell you, sitting back on the side, I'm going to put it like the Word of God said, he spits out lukewarm. Okay, so you can't say you're either with him or not with him, or maybe after the but. Because in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, he says, you are lukewarm, and he spits you out. Either you're for God or you're against him. Okay, simple as that. If you're following Christ or you're not. Don't be saying, well, I'm doing the good things, but I got my life to live. Because your life don't belong to you. Because he allows you to do what you do, it still don't belong to you. It's just a choice you're making. The choices you're making either send you to hell, or you, when Christ comes back, you go to heaven. But the choices you make, God is not a God where he would lie, so he gives you a choice. And that choice is yours. And every choice that we have, we make a decision whether or not we're going to follow Christ or we're going to follow the devil. And that's every breath we take, really. Because as long as we're here, we're making decisions and choices. And, you know, me and my wife was talking a second ago. Well, I remember somebody said something, and every now and then I still bring it up. That's keeping the record of wrong, okay? You can't get in heaven keeping the record of wrongs, because when we pray, we ask God to forgive our sins. And if we ask to forgive our sins, we don't want to remember them. So we forgive them, but he don't remember them. I mean, you can't get in. So we ask him to not only forgive us, but to don't remember me, Lord. So I ask the Lord to help me with that. But when we do that, recognize what's going on. We get to prepare for Christ to come back. It ain't no joke. This is real. This is real.
And before you move on, I just wanted to say to those that that may be still straddling the fence, okay, you have not decided to follow Jesus yet. And so you're in between what you hear in the world and what people are telling you. All I can do is tell you this. You still got time. If God allowed you to wake up this morning,
that's your opportunity.
That means that he is not done trying to pursue you and get a hold of you. He wants to take you back home with him.
Mm-hmm.
You belong to him, and he loves you, because you don't even understand the trouble that you're in. You have no idea. And that's what he's trying to save you from. His father's anger is about to come on the whole world. You're just seeing a little bit of it now. That's a little bit. You ain't seen nothing yet. And you're still taking the position that, oh, there may be a God and there may not be a God. Beloved, please, please hear me. Give your life over to Jesus Christ. He will protect it and keep it so that you can go back home with him when he does come.
Amen.
And all you have to do is call on his name. He said, anybody to call on my name, I'll save.
Amen.
Start there. Lord, I don't know you. I haven't believed, and I don't even know why I don't believe. But if you're real, Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to me.
Amen.
That's the prayer I prayed. God, reveal yourself to me, because I don't know you. And guess what? He did.
Amen.
So I just encourage you. And if you need prayer, please give us a call. 704-422-4949 is our number. If you need somebody to pray with you and explain the salvation story to you, we'd be more than happy to do that. God bless you.
God bless. God bless. That's our ministry number. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, brothers and sisters, people say they haven't seen God. Well, let me tell you this. You've heard a baby crying or eagle flying. Those things man can imitate, but it can't duplicate. When I say a baby crying, they try to make test tube babies. They try to duplicate, but they couldn't put no breath in it. When they see you talking about an eagle flying, they build airplanes, but they can't fly themselves. So there's this. We see God. But let me tell y'all something. We also see the devil. On January the 6th, we seen the devil show up, and people don't realize that it was the devil. We seen killing, People got killed. We've seen destruction. And we've seen destroying things, the property. That's what the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. God uses people, the devil does too. You know what he says? You can tell them by their fruit. So there ain't no excuse when we see these things. We can act like we don't see them and don't know them, but I'm going to tell you this. As simple as that. The Lord says we can tell them by their fruit. Today we got false messengers, messiahs, should I say, prophets, preachers, teachers, and evangelists. They have risen up among us to perform signs and wonders, trying to deceive people about the true gospel, which is the good news about Jesus Christ. They add stuff to it. The true gospel is really adding stuff to it, like marriage, same-sex marriage. That's not in the Bible, okay? And while we talk about marriage, for example, we talk about the flesh marriage between a husband and a wife, man and woman. But we never talk about the marriage between us and Christ. We're married. The Bible has to tell us to come back for his bride. That is not a man or woman. That's the people of God. We're his bride. Do we have spiritual adultery against him? He tells us about not having spiritual adultery against our wives, or a husband, wife against the husband, or wife, or husband against the wife. But we're married to Christ. That's spiritual stuff. Do we commit adultery? How do you commit adultery, spiritual adultery with Christ? We sin. We continue to sin. We do things knowingly against him. When we actually, the flesh marriage, when we do something towards the other one, like go out and have another affair, that's adultery. There's a sin connected to it. The Bible talks about that. Well, if that's sin there, how much more sin when we have spiritual adultery? We want to realize that we are married. And when we don't realize what the relationship we have and what it is, and let me tell you something else. God says about the marriage of humans, he says, like, what he has put together, what he has joined together, let no man undo. But what's about what he has joined us with, us and him? Who could I do that? Do we divorce the Lord and go our own separate ways because he doesn't bless us what we want to be blessed and do what we want to do? So we divorce the Lord? I tell you this, brothers and sisters. Time is coming, it's soon to come. The kingdom of God is near. So I want you to know that we've seen the devil. Okay? And don't think that he don't exist. And for a lot of us who think he does, doesn't exist, we're finding that out as we walk this walk today. Many of us are dying, and people are going through some changes. And thing is, though, nobody can die until God allows them to die. Okay, God's one gives us breath. We can't add one puff of air to us until God allows it, or he takes it away. But he's warning us now. You have something to say about them, sorry?
No, I was just going to say that we have such a wonderful privilege and opportunity to understand the relationship that God desires to have with us. Most people don't realize that because... In many ways, we got some bad information.
Yes.
Many of us have heard people tell us that this sin problem is our fault.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you can't seem to manage that in your head because you don't know what you did or what you didn't do or whatever it is like that. But the truth of the matter is that sin is not your fault. Sin is the fault of Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first man and woman that God put on this planet, and he put them here to manage this earth. He put them here to reign and rule over this planet, and they got tricked out of their rulership. And so as a result of that, the enemy Satan, who is real, that he is the god of this world, you see. And so he doesn't like us because he didn't like our father, because our father kicked him out of heaven, and he got mad. And the Bible tells you in Revelation, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, but devil didn't kick out and coming down where y'all at, and he mad.
That's right.
So this battle that you see we raging every single day of our lives, you're not going to win it without Jesus. I'm going to just tell you that up front. Without faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to win the battle. And Satan is going to trick the daylights out of you because he's a crafty person. Mm-hmm. Okay, he is a person. He's a crafty person, and he's been tricking people for so many years until he's good at it.
Yeah, he is.
But what we want to do, we want the safety that only Jesus can provide. He deals with our sin. He dealt with it once and for all. When God sent him to the cross, and I know it's hard to wrap your mind around this because I still have issues with understanding it all, but I believe God. And the Bible says that he took all of our sins and put them on his son. You know, I don't know how, but he did it. And if he said he did it, I believe him.
Amen.
He took all the sins of all mankind, he put them on his son, and then he destroyed his son. The anger that was in, that was meant for us, he took out on his own child.
Amen. Amen.
But then he rose him up from the grave. This is the hope that we have. That not only did Jesus take our sins, but in spite of him bearing all of our sins upon himself, God still raised him up from the grave. And he wants to quicken our bodies as well. But we got to put our trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Trust him.
Amen. And that's the good news.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. And so, and I'm telling y'all, today this false preaching going on, if possible, these false teachers and preachers can even deceive us. Don't call God a liar when you say that you can't be deceived. Because remember, Judas, you know, he was deceived by the devil and betrayed Christ. Okay, so don't call God a liar so you can't be deceived. And so be careful. And don't point our fingers at each other, because the Bible says, it warns us about this even before it happened, that these things will happen. So don't be saying that you can't be deceived. Don't be saying that the people who, you know, are being deceived, that you can't be one of them. But remember this. It's like a husband who's over the family, the household. He's the head of the household, and Christ is the head of the man. So if we're married to Christ, then he's our protector. He's the one who guards over us. See, and that's what my wife was just talking about. When all everything was put on him and he died for us, he's our protector. You got to allow him to be who he is. He's the husband. He's the covering. He's the provider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let him be the husband to you. Stop being proud and saying, well, I got this. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got a thing. So many of us who we know today is gone today, not from the virus, but just by, you know, death alone, you know, illness or diseases. But let me tell you something. Nobody knows the day or the moment when they're leaving here. The Bible talks about when Christ comes back. But remember what the Bible says. First, those who are dead in Christ. Okay? And it also says at the end time, everybody going to be raised up from the grave. They're going to be judged. After the first coming, there's going to be another coming. Okay? And the people don't have to accept it if they don't want to. But the judgment day comes, people are going to be raised up, and they're going to receive immortal bodies. The ones who are going to heaven be with God, and the ones who are not going to be with God are going to be permanently tormented forever. Forever, immortal body. So you can't. This false teaching that I'm going on today is saying no, that you know you're going to die, and when you die, that's it. Or when you die, you ain't going to get another body. The tormented thing is going to happen. Reach the Bible for yourself. Yes, it's all true. Every bit of the Word of God is true. We don't understand it all, and we ain't supposed to understand it all. But we do understand that the main thing, trust in God. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with the wisdom and knowledge of it. Because Christ says in the Bible, when he prayed, when he was leaving, he said he'll pray to the Father. The Father sends the advocate, and the advocate will come and testify all about him. He is the Word of God. And the Word of God, who the Holy Spirit, who he sent and lives in us, will let us know these things. And the more we read, it comes life. That's why I was telling you about the wife program on Tuesday. The word coming life. It need to be life to you. You don't need to have it so you can read it and understand it, and it don't do you no good. You got to apply it to your life. It's like eating food and keeping it in your mouth and don't chew it. What good is it? It's going to spoil. Right. You'll spit it out.
And let me tell you this. You may read stuff that you don't even understand. Okay? It's going to start out that way because you're not familiar with God's word. But let me promise you this. If you stick with it, you will find that God will begin to open your mind and he will illuminate your mind so that it can understand. God is able to do that.
Yes, he is.
And you'll be finding things, revelations and stuff that you have that will blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God is alive. It's
sure
powerful.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Sharper than a two-edged sword. God said it's life to those that find them and health to their flesh. That's how powerful God's word is. It impacts your flesh.
Amen.
Cut right down to the bone and marrow.
That's right.
You know, but it takes you a while as your faith grows and develops. That becomes truth for you. That's what the word winds up doing for you.
Amen.
It'll bring you to a place of wholeness and healing because that's what salvation is about. Wholeness and healing.
Amen. Amen. In the word, which to support what she said, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ.
Resounding yes.
Yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes. Okay? So, yes, and has to say.
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. And
God, I don't know what this is.
Okay. Okay. It is God who enables us. It is God who enables us to, long ago, with his Holy Spirit, to help us stand in Christ. It's God. In other words, God sent his Holy Spirit to help us to stand and to believe. Okay, because many of us think that the Holy Spirit is just there because it's a word coming from God. But the Holy Spirit helps us. As a matter of fact, even when we pray, a lot of times we're praying and stuff like we don't know what to say. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to do his thing, a job in you, but I can say it, sometimes we mumbling, don't know what to say. But the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. God already knows what we need, but he just wants us to ask for him, okay?
Amen.
He has commissioned and identified us as his own by placing his Holy Spirit in us. This is what the word said, in our hearts.
That's right.
But this is the first installment, not the last, but the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us.
Amen. And that means that is the way you receive the promises of God for real in your life is through the Holy Spirit. But the first step to receiving the Holy Spirit is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord.
That's right. Everybody, including us, are trying to make ourselves right. Anybody, including us, who's trying to make ourselves right with God, by keeping the laws, let me say this again, y'all. Everybody, including us, who are trying to make ourselves right with God, by keeping the law, have cut ourselves off from Christ and fallen away from God's grace. We who live by God, Holy Spirit, eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. Let me finish this for a second here. Yeah? But just think about what I just said. We have to wait. It ain't one of those things where you just get a block and everything you understand. This is a patient thing. That's why the spiritual gifts talk about long-suffering, patience, peace, and all that stuff. But a lot of us want it right now, right there. What you going to do with it if you don't know what to do? It's like giving a baby $1 million, a one-year-old baby. The baby don't know what to do with it. We're coming to Christ. We're bathed in Christ. But you got to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. And the more we grow, the more he gives to us. The more he gives to us, the more we grow. It works hand in hand. But then once we get it, then the thing is, you got to learn to share with somebody. That's why I said go and tell. Tell people what God has done for you. That's our testimony. And then people want to know what you got. Not you. They want to know what you got so they can receive it too. Those are the blessings. But the thing is, as long as we keep it to ourselves, it's like they give the talents to the man. The one guy, one had 10, made 10 more, one five more. The other guy had one. Barry, that's what you're doing with your talent? That's what you're doing with the gift God gave? I'm going to keep it to myself. Well, then God said, take that gift, what he do, and gave it to the one who did the most. So remember this. God has given us a spirit that's his spirit. And his spirit is love, cheer, happiness, peace, joy, giving, you know, all kind of good stuff. Read it for yourself. You'll find out what God is like. That He is your father. Let me take off. I'm not going to take off something, but let me clarify something to you. You have three names, certain names. The last name that people don't know you call you Mr. or Miss. The other name they call you is your first name. The people who, you know, name you like your friends and stuff of that nature call you by your first name. My name is John. My last name is Davis. Some people that don't know, professional, Mr. Davis. Those who know me real good, John. But then you have people that good kids. They call you dad. The Bible says we are his children. Well, who is God to you? Is he God to you? You don't know him? Do you call it Abba Father? Do you call him God, somebody distant to you? Or do you call him Father? That's what you say. We're his children. We're his brothers and sisters. We're his brothers and sisters. Joint heirs. That is, he is our Father. And Jesus actually said, call him Father. Do we call him Father? Do we mean it? When we say our Father and which is in heaven, do we mean that? Or are we just talking loud and saying nothing? But we have to stop pretending. We have to be for real. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your friends can't get you in heaven. Your mother can't. Your wife and husband can't. Your children can't. Your pastors can't. Only Jesus. You got to accept him to your life one-on-one to get you in heaven. So before, I know there are a lot of things I could say here, but I want to get started with our lesson tonight and let Brother Zach teach us this word that he's prepared already for us. Well, we can continue on getting prepared for Jesus' return. Mrs. Davis.
Yeah.
They're going to be very important in the final examination. Get ready for it. Number one subject, the things hidden in darkness. What are the things hidden in darkness? First of all, our thoughts. And then all the things we do which other people can't see. So when the Lord comes, he's not going to primarily reveal the things that were done in public, like, you know, the things you've done in the church and the things you did in the presence of other believers. That is not going to be so much evident because everybody has seen it. But the things hidden in darkness, that means darkness as far as other people are concerned, in the church are concerned. For example, all the people in your church and my church know only about 10% of your life or less than that. Because most of your life you're in their home or in the office or driving on the roads. Nobody knows whether you got angry in the car at some other driver because you were alone in the car. Nobody knows what you yelled at somebody, or there's a thing called road rage. There's a lot of it in the world today. But nobody sees it. It's all dark in the darkness. Nobody sees how you behave in the office, whether there are any things you sign and take money for, which unrighteous, false statements, whether you claim money from people, from the company which you don't deserve to claim. Who knows? You look like a very holy person in the church. You sing well. Maybe you preach well too, but there's a lot of sin in private, in darkness. Things which other people can't see. Things which others in the church don't see. And certain things which even your wife and children don't see. What you do in the office. Maybe things which appear right in the eyes of men, but not right in the eyes of God. Those are some of the things hidden in darkness. And the other area of darkness is our thought life. And our thought life, even your wife cannot know. Even if you're married for 50 or 75 years, your wife does not know what's going on in your thoughts. You can be a thoroughly impure man in your thoughts and externally look like a very faithful husband. But it will come out in the final day. Subjects that are going to be important in the final examination. Number one, the things hidden in darkness. God's word. things in your private life, things in your thought life. The thoughts, for example, I believe that you can live with your wife for 50, 60 years and she cannot know whether you love money. Because it's so easy to pretend that you don't love money. Just be generous now and then and let everybody know about your generosity. People say, oh, he doesn't love money. He gives so much money here. But that's not the test. What we love, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, in other words, what your mind is mostly thinking about, that is your real treasure. If your mind frequently thinks about the things of God, that is your treasure. I don't mean you neglect your earthly work or your family responsibilities. You do all that. I'm talking about times when your mind is free. Our mind is not occupied 24 hours. No. Nobody's mind is occupied 24 hours. We sleep 6 or 7 hours, and the rest of the time we are not always thinking of work. We have to do our work. Students have to think of their studies. All that is okay. But when our mind is free from our studies and free from our work and free from your housework, mothers, when the mind is free, where does it go to? That is the test of where our treasure is. And there in my free time, if I'm always thinking of how can I be richer, how can I make more money, that's where your treasure is. Somebody else may be thinking, well, what can I do for the Lord now? That's where his treasure is. But who knows that? Not even your wife. I've used an illustration sometimes to help this. The Bible says in Colossians 3, set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things on the earth. You know that verse, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and not on the things of the earth. And the way I illustrated, you know, we have to think about many things on the earth. We have to concentrate on our work. When you drive the car, you have to concentrate on the car. You have to make sure your car is working. A wife has to concentrate on cooking food and looking after the children. So the illustration I've used is of a rubber band. See, for example, if this is a picture of, this top part is a picture of heaven, and this bottom of this pulpit is a picture of earth. If I tie a rubber band to this mic here, that is my mind set on the things above, and I have to stretch it to the things of earth for 8 hours for my work, stretched. And for 1 or 2 hours of driving on the road, it is stretched to earthly things. Or your wives and mothers have to stretch it to look after your children and looking after cooking and everything. It may be 10 or 12 hours. Your mind is stretched to so many things on this earth. Absolutely right. We have to be faithful in that. Now my question is, when you're finished all your work, when this work is all done and the rubber band is released, it goes back up here to the things above. But with most Christians, it is not like that. The rubber band is tied down here at the bottom, and then it's stretched up church service time for 1 or 2 hours, and maybe 15 minutes of reading the Bible a day. And then when that exercise is over, 2 hours on a Friday or Sunday, it's released back to the things of earth now. How to make more money, and what pleasure can I get from somewhere? This is the difference. It doesn't mean that a man who set his mind on things above doesn't care for things of earth. He does his work or not much more faithfully than the other person whose mind is set on the things of earth, because God helps him. So setting your mind on things above, the way to test it is when you're released from, during the day, from all earthly responsibilities, even if it's only for 15 minutes a day, because you were so busy that day, where does your mind go to? There you know, if you want to know about yourself, where your treasure really is. I'm telling you, a subject is going to be important in your final examination. So that those are things hidden in darkness. Nobody knows. You don't know about me. Even if you've heard me preach for years, you can think there's a very godly man and is always thinking about heaven and all that. It may not be true. You don't know my thoughts. You don't know what I'm thinking about when I'm alone by myself. I don't know about you either. But one day I will know everything about you. And I'll tell you something. One day you'll know everything about me as well. Because it'll all be exposed. And the other thing, here's another subject that's going to be important in the final day, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. First of all, the things hidden in darkness, I explained that. And second, the motives of men's hearts. In other words, not what you did, but why you did it. In the final day, what you did will be important, but why you did it will be much more important. 10 marks for what you did, 90 marks for why you did it. I'm not saying what you did is not important. What you said, important, 10 marks. Why you said it, 90 marks. I think if you evaluate your life like that, we can do so many good things and get 10 marks, 10 marks, 10 marks, and we are losing 90 marks all the time. Because the motive with which you did it may have been completely wrong. It may have been for your own honor. Take something like preaching. Isn't preaching a very good thing? Very good. Think of reaching out to the world through television, etc. And everybody admires the person who preaches so powerfully. But God, okay, 10 marks, clear gospel he has preached. But he still fails because the 90 marks goes for the motive. And his motive may be, I want to get money from these people. Hidden motives of the heart is going to be very, very important in the final day. Subjects that are important in your final examination. Concentrate on those subjects. This is how we can be ready for the coming of the Lord. What if we have failed in our past life? Thank God we can confess it. Ask the Lord to forgive. You know, very often, we are quick to ask the Lord to forgive us something we actually did which other people saw, something wrong. Other people knew about it and I said it right. But we are not so careful to confess thoughts that were bad or an attitude to somebody else that was not good. Can you think of the last time you confessed to the Lord an attitude of yours towards some other brother that was not good? That when you went to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm really sorry I had this wrong attitude towards that person or that sister. When was the last time you did that? Or when was the last time you went to the Lord and said, Lord, that is a good thing I did, but my motive always was to get some glory for myself. I did that in the church, but I wanted everybody to know it. And I wanted to get some glory for myself. I get 10 out of 100 for what I did. And the other question, 90%. Zero. You know, if you evaluate yourself like this, you'll be ready for the final examination. I'm telling you, before God, that's what I do. I prepare for my final examination. I take it seriously, just like you tell your children to prepare for the subjects that are coming in the final examination. I prepare for my final examination. I prepare for the subjects that are important there. And Bible knowledge is not going to be important in that day. I'll tell you that. Bible knowledge is useful on the earth. If I can apply it to my life, I can use it to preach to others. But in that day, there are no marks for Bible knowledge. Very important to teach our children that. Your children may be doing well in school. I remember when my children were small and every year in school, they would have a prize-giving day. And the children, when my children came back with a prize to the house, first thing we do is, as we enter the house, and say, okay, boys, let's pray. First thing. Let's thank the Lord that He helped you to win something, do it well. When these prizes, let's give glory to the Lord. And then I would tell them, now keep these prizes away somewhere in your room. Don't display them in the sitting room for everybody to see. Not important. Your report card and I'll keep it away. Don't show it to anybody. Show it to Daddy and Mommy, yes, but not to others. And then I would tell them, I do this regularly, every year. Remember, my sons, when Jesus comes back, He's not going to ask you how much you got in physics, how much you got in maths, how much you got in social studies, or no. There were 800 students sitting there in the school today who never got any prizes, who were disappointed and went home. But I say some of them may have been better than you in being kind to others and in helpful in the class and being friendly. They'll get a better prize than you. You got a prize over here. This is not going to count in the day of judgment. I said that to them every year. I hope you will tell your children what is important in the final examination. The real final examination that's coming for all of us. The things that are hidden in, that are done in secret. Jesus said, if you give money, don't let even your left hand know what your right hand has done. Give it in secret. Don't let anybody, as far as possible, don't let anyone know. Sometimes it's unavoidable. Because if you want to give a large gift to a ministry, you have to give it in a check. And of course, people will know. There, you have not disobeyed the command. Because some people say, oh, I can't give it in a check because everybody will know I gave it. No, it's perfectly okay. The question is, what is your motive? Not whether people knew that you're the one who gave it, but why did you want people to know? If you did not want people to know, you're perfectly clear, 100%. Even though you gave it in a check and the treasurer there knew that you're the one who gave that money, perfectly okay. Because your motive was not, everybody must know that I gave that money. You did it that way because that is the only way to give a large amount of money as a gift. A lot of people in our church drop checks because you can't put so much money into an offering box. They are not guilty. They're not trying to show how much they gave. They don't want it. So don't feel guilty about that. Motive. What is your motive? What's your motive in writing that check so that everybody should know that you gave it? No. Your motive is, I don't know how else to give such a large amount. I can't give so many currency notes in there. Motive. And I'll tell you, the only person who knows the motive is you. Don't judge another person in this area. Because when we judge others, there's something else that's going to happen in the day of judgment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, it's good to know these things. Matthew chapter 7, He said, verse 1 is, don't judge lest you be judged. Verse 2 tells us how we will be judged. In the same way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. In other words, have you been very hard in judging other people? God will be very hard in judging you. Have you been very strict in judging other people? God will be very strict in judging you. Have you been lenient and merciful in judging others? God will be lenient and merciful in judging you. It's good to know that now. Matters that are important for the final examination. In the way you judged others, you will be judged. So it says here in the next verse, don't keep looking at the speck in your brother's eye. You know, we see something wrong, small thing wrong in a brother or a sister. And immediately you go around telling other people, oh, did you see that sister, how what she was wearing, or this thing or that thing, what is that brother was doing, did you see? Okay, fine. You will be judged in the same way when you stand before the Lord. For some small little thing you did wrong, the Lord will pick you up on that, because that's the way you judged all the other people. Some small, irrelevant, unimportant thing you went around judging others on, God will do exactly the same to you. Be ready for the final examination. I've often said in my home church, my brothers and sisters, if you listen to me and take seriously all that I teach you from God's word, it's like these tutorial colleges that train people for medical college examination and IIT entrance test and medical college entrance test, how they say guarantee good results. Come here to our tutorial college for 1 year. And I say the same thing. Take everything that you hear in CFC that we preach seriously, guaranteed you can even get 100% in the final examination. Yes, you can get it. Take these things seriously. Don't just hear it today and forget it tomorrow, please. Till Christ comes, take these things seriously. You see a speck in a brother's eye, don't leave it. He has not asked you to remove it. First of all, remove the beam from your eye. You know what the beam is? Have you ever meditated on, Lord, what is this log in my eye? I'll explain to you. You can preach it in your next sermon. The log is a judgmental attitude to that brother. Got it? That is the log. A judgmental attitude to that brother's small little mistake in him. I'm telling you seriously, if you take these things really to heart, you'll be ready for the final examination, without a doubt. Let me show you another verse in James, in chapter 1. James chapter 2. Don't get discouraged if you don't know these verses. I'm a teacher. God has appointed me as a teacher of the word. It is my responsibility to teach the word accurately, correctly, to show you the verses that you don't know, to show you the verses that are important for the final examination. That's my job. That's what a school teacher does. The school teacher says, listen, these are the subjects to your students. This is what is coming in the final examination. Please prepare for it. That's exactly what I'm doing. Here is another verse, James chapter 2 and verse 13. It's a scary verse. Some verses in the Bible are scary. Judgment from God will be merciless to one who did not show mercy to other people. But mercy must triumph over judgment in your case. In other words, you come to a particular situation where somebody has done something wrong that has affected you. And you can be merciless in the way you judge that person and punish that person, because you got authority. You may be a father, a mother, you may be a boss in the office or an elder in a church, and you're merciless in the way you treat that person. You wouldn't treat your own son or daughter like that, but this person is not my son or daughter. You're merciless. Remember one thing. When your final examination comes before the Lord will be just as merciless to you. So this verse says. So in my mind, when something happens like that, it says there's judgment and mercy. And it says here, let mercy get the victory in that struggle that goes on in your mind when a particular wrong was done by somebody. And I say, should I judge that or be merciful? Let mercy triumph over judgment. It says there. I'm not saying that we should ignore the mistakes people do. In our disciplining, there must be mercy. That's how God is. And that's when you know Jesus. Eternal life is to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said that in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And I see in Jesus Christ mercy, mercy, mercy. I love that story of the woman caught in adultery. Adultery is a terrible sin. It's a terrible, terrible sin. I find even among Christians nowadays, they don't take it seriously. Adultery, fornication, sexual sin with someone you're not married to, even in your thoughts. It's a terrible, terrible sin. Or watching somebody committing sexual sin. That's what pornography is. Watching someone committing sexual sin. That is my definition of pornography. And you sit and watch it. And some people even pay money to watch it. Okay? It's a sad thing if such a person calls himself a believer. But it's a terrible sin. But if we are not careful about these things, about judging others, we need to be merciful. Jesus looked at that woman. It was a terrible sin, and the law of God was very strict. Women who commit adultery must be stoned to death. Not because God loved stoning people, not at all. But it's because God had to teach Israel adultery is a serious sin. A woman must be faithful to her husband. A man must be faithful to his wife. And the way he taught that seriousness was, if a man and a woman commit adultery, both of them must be stoned to death. So this woman is brought before Jesus by the Pharisees, and they tell Jesus, Moses said this woman must be stoned to death. What they did not know was that Jesus himself gave that law to Moses 1500 years earlier when he was in heaven. He was the one who told Moses from heaven, women caught in adultery must be stoned to death. The same person who is sitting here now was the one from heaven who said that 1500 years earlier. And now the question comes, are you going to keep that law? And Jesus, I like that. I've learned something from that myself. It says he scribbled on the sand. I know what he was doing. He was a man like us. He was saying, Father, what should I say? That is the law. I cannot change the law. What should I say? And he gets a word from the Father. Tell them, the one who is without sin, throw the first stone.
Brothers and sisters, there's 90 seconds left, and I want you guys to know this is breaking down the Word of God. Okay, we'll start with this part when we come back next week. Remember, spiritually, we want to let everybody know we're married to Christ. That he's our husband. And we shouldn't be ashamed of our husband. We should be looking forward to his return. And by looking forward to his return, we'll be getting ourselves ready. You know, we want to prepare ourselves and trust that he's going to do and say what he's going to say and be who we say he is. And we're his bride. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you've showed up again in your Holy Spirit. We excuse us for, well, you had control of the instruments going off, but you brought them back on again. So, Lord, let those of our ears and let them hear. And for you, Lord, you did all the honor, glory, and the praise. And we ask that everybody who's listening, please call next week and enjoy the Word of God with us. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.